we're beginning to do the Su'udah HaMafsekas. Okay? So the Mishnah stated, and the Mishnah was on Chafav Amad Beis, I'm just going to read that line, Erev Tishabav, L'yokol Adam Shnei Tamshilin. Person can't eat two cooked items, Lo Yochal Basar, Lo Yishtayin. They can't eat meat or wine. Okay? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Yeshana. They should change from their ordinary custom. Okay? And Rashi says, Bigmar Mefarish. Okay? So Rashi on Mashnei Tavshilin, Basar V'dagim, O Basar V'beitzim Sha'alav, O Dag V'beitzim Sha'alav, so it means basar and dog, meat with eggs on it, or fish with egg on it. Okay, so whatever, that's another detail about how you measure, what counts as Shnei Tavshilin. But we'll leave that alone for the time being, okay? So basically, the Mishnah says, you can't have meat or wine or two Tavshilin on Erev Tisha B'Av. It doesn't say so you don't have seconds, it just says on Erev Tisha B'Av. Okay, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that you should change. Okay, so let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara is Lamed Amad Aleph. Lamed Amad Aleph. It says towards the top, right? Two dots. Erev Tisha B'Av called them Shnei Tavshilin. Amar Rav Yehuda Lo Shanu Elami Sheisha Osu L'Maila. This prohibition is only from 6 hours and onwards. Avali Sheisha Osu L'Mata. In the warning, Mutter, you're allowed to have meat and wine and two Tavshilin. Right? The Amar Rav Yehuda. We're knowing that in the 9 days we don't have meat and wine altogether, right? But whatever. That's right, that's not the Gemara. The Amar Rav Yehuda. Lo shanu ela b'su'udah hamafzik ba. We only learn this prohibition during the su'udah, which you are mafzik with it. Okay? Avo b'su'udah shenu mafzik ba mutter. Right? Okay. Let's just see Rashi. Mishisho z'olamata klape shachar, towards the morning. Hamafzik ba the shuvein ochel od meos su'udah melech, and I can eat anything more after that su'udah. That's what the su'udah mafzik ba means. And I can eat after that meal. It's not clear if it means you're not going to eat a kosher or you're not going to eat another meal. Sounds. Play this pshat, you're not going to eat anything. But, I don't know. Okay. So Rav Yehuda has two qualifications, right? First qualification is the whole prohibition is only from 6 hours in the second half of the day. And the second thing is the only prohibition is, you know, mafsakas, right? Bitravayu lekula. The Gemara says, and both of these qualifications are kulas. The tricha, and you need them both. Because if it only said to the mafsek, havemina fila mashay shows in the mata, you might say, even if I have the shir mafsek, it's in the morning. It's going to be a problem. Right? I'm going to have to make sure they don't have two tavshilin, what's behind? Hamash malon, mashay shows in the mata, the only prohibition is in the second half of the day. And if you just told me the second half of the day, you might think it's prohibited to have two tavshilin even not in the shudah mafsakas. Right? Like, let's say you're going to have lunch, and then you're going to have dinner right before the fast. So you might think that lunch is going to be prohibited because it's after vatzos. It's only in the shudah mafsakas. So basically, according to Rav Yehuda, it's only when it's both the Su'udah HaMafsekas and also that Su'udah HaMafsekas happens to be taking place after Chatzos. Right? But again, if you have Su'udah HaMafsekas before Chatzos, no problem. And if you have, let's say, two Su'udahs after Chatzos, then the one which is the earlier one is not going to have this prohibition either. Right? That is Rav Yehuda. Okay, let's go further. It's going to be a machlokas. Okay? So it says, Tanya Kalishna Kama, Tanya Kalishna Basra. So there's a braisa supporting the first lashon of Rav Yehuda, and there's a braisa supporting the second lashon of Rav Yehuda. Tanya Kalishna Basra, the latter one, which was which one? The Shulim of Sakas. So here's the braisa, Hasoid Erev Tishrav, Im Asid. Lisho to the Acheres, if you plan on having another Suda, Mutter Lechel Basa Velishos Yain. Vimav, also Lechel Basa Velishos Yain. Okay? So basically, that Brisa doesn't mention anything about Chatzos. It's only Suda Mavsekas. Right? Okay. Fine. So that Brisa is like that. The second Lashon. Tanik Lishna, come on, there's another Brisa like the first Lashon, the Sheshos. The Tanya Erev Tishvav Lo Yechol Adam Shet Hashem Lo Yechol Basa Lishon Yayin. Rav Shigun Amar Yishana. You should change. Amar Yira Ketzer Mishana. How do you change? Ima Yiragel Achav Shnei Tavshil and Yechol Men Echad. If you're used to having two Tavshil and Shav 1. Ima Yiragel Asad Rasav Nei Adam. If you're used to having a meal with 10 people, so Yiragel Chamisha. You should only have 5. Ha Yiragel Asad Rasav Nei Adam. If you're used to drinking 10 cups of wine. Shosra Chamisha Kosos. You should drink 5 cups of wine. Right, so that's an argument, right? The Tanakama held, you can't have anyone. This is just the ancient Mishana. Balamed Ramamurim continues the Brisa. One of these words said, Mishayshos Olmaila. Only after Sheshos. Ava Mishayshos Olmata Mutter. Right? Doesn't say anything about Shidomasekas. Right? Okay. So basically, you have Rav Yehuda who holds two qualifications. You have only one Brisa which has one qualification. Another Brisa has only the other qualification. You see they're bringing down the footer here. The Gemara's already asked that problem. So it sounds to the Gemara that the Gemara's bringing it as a Raya for him. But it turns out it's not really a Raya. On the contrary, the Kasha's on him. Because each Brisa only has one of the Dinam. Right? So he leaves it as a Kasha. Right? Right. Yeah, they have another Gersa someone else wants to learn. Really, it's a machlokas between the two Gersas, and then the Gemara is passing the Kula, like both of them. Okay, I don't know. It's not clear. It's not clear. But I mean, it seems like the way it seems, though. I don't know. The question aside, it seems that we basically got three possibilities on the table. Either that the whole Isser is only in the second half of the day, no matter what you're eating. Or it's only in the Sudan seconds, no matter when you eat it. Or it's only when it's a combo of those two together. Right? You would be wise, and it's oftentimes the case, it would be wise to just explain the sheet just one at a time. And then see if we could, you know, compare and contrast them, machlokas, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think there's a lot of information here. I think just maybe it'd be simpler to try to understand any shita. If any shita, right. One of us explain any shita. Right, what's the whole Indian here? We don't really understand, we don't know the first thing about this, right? What is the Indian here? Is it machlokas or whatever you want to call it? It's this thing, Basra, Yayin, Tito, Shilin, right? What is that? Okay, so Isaac's starting things off by saying, look, it's the meal that leads you into the fasta. Right? Which I guess means fasting, there's a custom amongst people, which is a reasonable one, that before they fast, they eat. Right? Because, after all, you're not going to be eating for a day. And you want food, calories, nourishment. Right? So therefore, how are you going to make it through the fast day? Right? So the way you make it through the fast day is prior to the fast day, you have typically a big meal, right? Or a meal, certainly. And that meal is holding you over into the fast, right? What you're saying is, that meal is like, by in a certain sense, functionally related to the tainus, to Tisha B'Av. It's your lead-in to Tisha B'Av. It's that which is holding you over into Tisha B'Av. Right? The last meal that you're going to have is you're filling your belly for Tisha B'Av. So in a sense, it's related to Tisha B'Av. It's functioning for Tisha B'Av. So the meal which functions for Tisha B'Av shouldn't be a festive, happy feast, right? It should be a simple meal, without variety, without meat and wine, yes, fill up. But you could fill up, you don't need meat or wine or a variety to fill up. You can eat tons of one food, one tavshil. So as big or as small as your appetite is, there's no limit on the quantity that you eat. After all, you're preparing for a fast day. But why don't you just always eat a meal of one item? Because it's not as exciting, it's not as interesting, it's not, right? In terms of practicality, it's much easier to just eat one thing. If you have to cook two things, just cook one thing, right? 30 less pots, less ingredients, whatever. But the reason is because the psychological enjoyment experience of the meal is you want to have oneg. It's part of the oneg, is the different feasts, different dishes, different courses, right? So the saying is, the meal here is like a no-frills meal. It's a meal of sustenance, of holding you, of filling you up, of nourishment, not a meal of pleasure. Which makes sense. After all, this is the meal which is conceptually related, functionally related to Tisha B'Av. Then is, since Tisha B'Av is the day of mourning and sadness, so therefore the meal which is functionally the lead into Tisha B'Av should partake of the sadness of Tisha B'Av, right? Or if it involves Simcha, or, you know, Oneg, that takes away from the fact that this is preparing you for a sad, sad day. Right? Something like that. Okay. So by that measure, by that logic, would it matter what time of day you're eating it? No. Because it's the functional relationship to Tisha B'Av, right? Which is holding this, like, who does it? I don't know. But if the last meal you're going to have is an early lunch, so be it. Well, that's your meal, which is holding you over into Tisha B'Av, right? And that apparently that's your plan. I'm going to eat a big meal now, and I don't get that hungry. So I'll eat a big meal now, and that'll hold me over. So then that's it. That's related to Tisha B'Av because of its function. Function of filling you up, providing you the sustenance to be able to hold you over into Tisha B'Av. Right? Okay. Yeah. What we have to explain is the side who says, that's not the case. Rather, it's during the time, the second half of Erev Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos, it's prohibited to eat meat, wine, or two tefillin. It doesn't matter if you have five meals beforehand, you can't have meat, wine, or two tefillin. And then the third shita is that the prohibition is only if it's both the last meal and it happens to be within that time, right? So I think we should try to explain maybe the other simple side, the side of holds that just goes by the time, right? And then we have to figure out the combo. Okay, so is there anything for the other side, the side of Achashesh's? It's kind of similar, I think, maybe to the other things we were doing yesterday, the other day. Is it's a din of, it's almost like an extension of Tisha B'Av, that the time period immediately leading up to Tisha B'Av is like objectively defined as like prep time, right? It's mitzurah after the Tisha B'Av. So it's like, in a sense, the morning of Tisha B'Av begins in the afternoon of Erev Tisha B'Av. Because typically people prepare for a fast beforehand. So that time frame, that's the time, the second half of the day, is typically when you'll be preparing for that, right? So therefore, that Zman becomes like an extension of Tisha B'Av, right? Yeah. An extension of Tisha B'Av. And it's the morning extends. So the morning extends such that it prohibits Simcha and a large degree of Oneg to Toshilin, right? So it's not a din in the Seuda. The first way, what is more, is like a din in the Seuda, which is functionally the prep. This is more a din of the Zman, set up as the Zman, which is the prep time, which is the extension, the lead-in to Tisha B'Av, becomes Nesah in these actions of Simcha. Right? More akin to the 9 days, or Shor Shechalva, or whatever, right? But there, those are just on the calendar or the week. Here, it's because it's the time, which is Tisha B'Av on your mind. After all, you're already thinking about Tisha B'Av, and you have a fast day coming up, and you're in the second half of the day, you got to be thinking about it. Right? You're making plans. So it's like once you're in that time, which is now related to the fast day, now it becomes nitfas and avelas, if you will. And now you can't express itself in terms of these prohibitions and so on. The case, I guess that leaves us with the third shita, which is Rabbi Yehuda, of Travaya Lakula. Namely, it's only if it's simultaneously the last meal you have, and also it's after the sixth hour. Alright. So you guys are saying, let's just take it one step at a time. So the first step you're saying is that Sudam Hafsekah is defined by the Gavra, if you will, based upon what is he leading into the fast with. Right? Whatever is going to be his, you know, lead-in meal, that's a Sudam Hafsekah. Right? Would you say, no, it has to be objectively defined as Sudam Hafsekah because it's in the second half of the day? Now, it has to also be his lead-in meal, although it's not a Sudam Hafsekah, but it, like, can't be defined as Sudam Hafsekah if it's not objectively related to Tisha B'Av. It needs both, though, right? Because it's like...
Yeah.
Right. Right. So, I just want to go a step further than that. And let's just take the second side first. Right? It's like, the question is how to unify that, you know? So, I want to say it like this, is that there's... This is Manda Amar Holder, Yehuda. That there's a such a there's a fellow shame of a su'udas Tisha B'Av, a su'udas shel Tisha B'Av, okay, and that's a fellow shame in the su'uda. Now, what's a su'udas shel Tisha B'Av? You don't eat on Tisha B'Av, but no, Tisha B'Av is a fast day. So how do you have a su'udas shel Tisha B'Av? So if you have a su'uda, which is the lead in to Tisha B'Av, right? It's a su'uda of a fast day is the filler for the fast day. But if it's getting a chalo shem in the se'uda, then it has to have an objective tziruf to the Tisha B'Av. There needs to be two things. If there are two meals before Tisha B'Av, then you don't say this is the se'uda shel Tisha B'Av. The one before Tisha B'Av is the se'uda shel Tisha B'Av, because that's the idea, it's the se'uda of before the fast. But since it's a chalo shem in the se'uda, there's a se'uda shel Tisha B'Av, if it's not mitzuraf to Tisha B'Av, even though in your mind you're planning on preparing it, it's very nice in your mind. But it can't get a chal shem in the su'uda if it's not objectively in that context, which is Mitzurah to Tisha B'Av. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's an objective shem that the su'uda shel Tisha B'Av can't be a su'uda shel Simcha or shel Taimim. Right? Yeah. But the other man, the Amar, doesn't hold it's a chal shem in the su'uda. He just holds that when the person goes into Tisha B'Av, or when the person prepares, when the person enters Tisha B'Av, he's going in on the heels, on the nourishment of a certain meal. And his entering Tisha B'Av should be with entering Tisha B'Av based on a meal of no frills. He shouldn't enter Tisha B'Av. It's like his experience of entering Tisha B'Av, that he shouldn't enter Tisha B'Av with a... There's two ways to say it. One way is this way. It's to say he shouldn't enter Tisha B'Av based on a suda, based on the sustenance of simcha, with a taste of simcha on his mouth, so to speak, right, or on his belly. Right? Or the other way is to say, when you're preparing for Tisha B'Av, your preparation for Tisha B'Av should be a preparation without simcha. Right? Either way, you could look at it like the Isser is when you're doing the Maisa, or is it more like what you know what you're entering Tisha B'Av with? Right? Yeah. But either way, the point is, though, it's a din in the Gavra's relationship to Tisha B'Av. It's a din in the Gavra's relationship to Tisha B'Av, and it's going to go by his last meal. But if you say that, no, it's not about your preparation with Tisha B'Av, but there's an objective Chal Hashem to Tisha B'Av, it's a Chal Hashem in the Se'uda, then it has to have an objective Tziraf to the Yom, otherwise it can't take on a character, it can be defined as Se'uda Shel Tisha B'Av. It can't just be it's like, Bodhi Leitzach Haladim, you can't define the Se'uda based upon your personal mindset. But again, if the whole Isser is an Isser in the Gavra's preparation for Tisha B'Av and the Avodah entering Tisha B'Av, then it goes by your personal mindset because that's the nature of the din. How is the Gavra entering Tisha B'Av? Right? So then of course it goes by you. But again, if you say that it's an objective Chal Hashem Suz Tisha B'Av, which is an Isser, it's an Isser of Simcha in the Suz Tisha B'Av, then it has to be Mitzurah of the Tisha B'Av, the last meal, and it has to be Mitzurah of the Tisha B'Av. Right? Whereas again, the other side, which is the not similar to these really, is that it's just this man, which is related to Tisha B'Av, is an extension of the Yisur Tisha B'Av or of the Avayas Tisha B'Av. I'm not saying that there's a thief to have it. I'm saying there's a chal Hashem of the Tisha B'Av, if you have one. The last meal, which is the Tzuruf to Tishbav, is defined as the Tzuruf to Tishbav, and therefore there's an Isser Simcha in the Tzuruf to Tishbav. But you're not necessarily have to have a Tzuruf to Tishbav. If you skip the Tzuruf to Tishbav and you just have breakfast, then it's fine. There's no Tzuruf to Tishbav this year. So I'm not saying you're chayav to do it. I'm saying it's there is a reality to the Chalashim Tzuruf to Tishbav. And as such, insofar as you do, it's also to have a Tzuruf to Tishbav, which has Simcha. Undermining Tisha B'Av, if your Seudas Tisha B'Av was a Seudas Shal Simcha. Your Tisha B'Av itself was a day of Avelis, but your Seudas Tisha B'Av was a Seudas Shal Simcha. That would be like a type of disaster. It undermines what the Tisha B'Av is. So you see, your Seudas Tisha B'Av can't have Simcha. Now maybe we can take up that other Machlokas. Okay. So the other Machlokas is, what's the din of Seudas Matzakas? So according to the Tanakhama, in our Mishnah, the Tanakh of our Mishnah, it's not allowed to have meat or wine or Shnei Toshilin. Right? According to the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's a din of Yeshana. Yeshana means to change it. Which means if you normally have two Toshilin, you have one Toshil. If you normally have 10 guests, you have 5 guests. If you normally have 10 cups of wine, you should have 5 cups of wine. Right? So it's Yeshana, right? That's the whole halacha, to be Mishana, right? What you normally do, right? But not necessarily that you have to not have it all together, right? Right, that's the machlokas. Rashi says, by the way, attend the Tosis, or I think Rashi also said it. Maybe Rashi, but Tosa says that if the 10 guests and the 5 guests, it's Tzarech Lamayit Bechvodo. It means you're minimizing your kavod. So in guests, it's like a certain kavod, you have all kinds of people around your table, so you're minimizing that. It's a good question why he's picking half, specifically. Right. Yeah, I mean, someone said, so one of the Achronim said is, it's strange that he says, if you're used to have 2 tefshilin, you should have 1. It should all should have said, if you're used to having 3 tefshilin, you should have 2. If you're used to having 2 tefshilin, you should have 1. Right? If he's having 4 Tashin, you know. Because it would seem that he's holding there's no absolute Isser of Basar Yayin, and there's arguably no absolute Isser of Shnei Tashilin. But then it's just he might. So if you want to illustrate your point, you'd think that it would say, illustrate the point by saying if you're used to having more than 2 Tashilin, then you should have less. Right? Yeah, it could be the halving. It's a good point. It could be if you're used to having 10 cups of wine, it doesn't say that have 9 cups of wine. Seems like it has to be nicker. You know? Could be, it's just maybe by halving it, it makes a dent. It's noticeable. But just to make it change it a teeny bit, that's basically the same thing. Just off by the quantity, you're just shifting the quantity a little bit. Basically, you know, it's just like an accidental difference. But it makes different class of simcha, different class of guests. So that's what I would say. I was a lav dak exactly half. But it should be significantly different. Maybe that's why 3 tefshilin and 2. I don't know. Maybe that's still the same thing. 4 to 2 maybe would be significant. You know, but 3 to 2 maybe that's not enough. You know, maybe it has to be enough to change the character of the seuda. You know, maybe again, one change in one doesn't necessarily change the character. Okay, so the question. So what's the machlokas here, right? What's the machlokas? Thing is, the first Mandamar doesn't say anything about guests. Right? Basar Yayin Shnei Toshilin. It doesn't say that you don't have guests or you don't have more than X amount of guests, right? But the second Mandamar is minimizing. He minimizes the Toshilin and he minimizes the Yayin and he minimizes the number of guests. I think it's Machlokas Rishonim whether or not the way we hold do we have the guests, like, you know.
Oh, because we hold like the first
one. We hold the first one, right? Yeah, we hold like you can't have any of us or any with Shnei Toshilin, you know. But what about us? Do we hold the guests? Because it seems on the one hand, the first one number is more machmir. You can't have any meat or any wine. It's Toshilin, right? But yet, on the other hand, the other Yemayit one is more machmir vis-a-vis guests, because he has a din of guests, and the first one doesn't even mention guests. So that's why some want to say. Of course, we all by the guest thing also. suppose you might have less guests. Not that it's also any guests, but, you know. But, I mean, that's like a sticky point in the whole thing. Okay, so I'm thinking similar to tomorrow, but I'm saying it a little differently here. That is a pshat. This might sound similar to the previous far. Okay, that's my disclaimer, but I think it's different, but maybe we'll have to discuss. But is it pshat? See, here's the difference. Just to notice the first step. Is according to the first mandamer, you could objectively define the characteristics of what Sumasakas is going to look like. Right? No meat, no wine, one tavshil, whatever, not two tavshil. According to the Sura Rishimam Liel, there's no objective definition. It's totally subjective. It depends on your normal standard. You might eat is relative to your ordinary method. If you're used to having 100 guests, you'll have 50 guests, right? If you're having 10 cups of wine, you'll have 5. If you're having 2 cups, you'll have 1, right? So there's no objective form to what a pseudo mafsekes looks like, right? It's entirely in the gavra, right? That the gavra has to reduce his simcha and his tainug and his kavod, right? It's a meal of reducing, the person reducing what his experience of the Suda. Various elements of Suda, Simcha, the Oneg, is the variety, the Kavod, and the people. He basically has to be reduced, he has to reduce his experience of the meal in view of the morning which is upcoming. But according to the way we hold Tanakama, the Chazal defined an objective form of a suda mafsakas as a diminished meal. It's not just that the gavra has to diminish his experience, but the Rabbanan codified a form of what does a suda mafsakas look like. Namely, it's a suda bereft of basar, yayin, and variety, of simcha and variety, right? And they didn't leave it up to, see, any number, you can't just say it's a suda which has 5 cups of wine, because for one guy that's going to be simcha, another guy's going to be nothing. It's going to be normal, more or less, right? Totally varies. So the only objective standard, or the objective definition, is basically they define the seuda, which is removed from simcha and tainug. It's basically a baseline seuda, right? Simply a seuda of nourishment. Right? Suda of nourishment, of filling sustenance. Right? You have to really have a fast day coming up, and they said, Suda to be Suda of nourishment. So that's, it's like a certain new kind of a Suda. They define what the Suda should be like. Whereas according to the Rishon Liel, the Suda is a Suda, like any other Suda. But they mechayiv the person that if you're eating a Suda, which is defined by Tisha B'Av, which is approaching Tisha B'Av, and the Zman of Tisha B'Av, and however you go in the previous Machlokas, that has to impact your experience of the Suda. You chayiv to change your meal, to reflect, your meal should reflect the fact that Tisha B'Av is on the horizon. Right? But there's no objective Tzura, they didn't define it as a meal of X or a meal of Y. They just said that for the Gavra's experience of the meal and all the different facets of it, he has to roll it back. That's the impact, the way he experiences his meal. And the meal has different components. Each of the components become undermined or affected, minimized. Right? But that's not a definition of the form of the meal, because that's going to be subjective, depends on each and every person. Right? It's like a different... Is it like an Isser, right? I hear what you're saying tomorrow. Is it like an Isser of Simcha in this meal? Or is it saying is, no Isser of Simcha, it's just that your meal should indicate the approaching Tisha B'Av. And the way it indicates it, it's impacted by it, which is by rolling back. It's just suggestions, what you're saying. Some of what you're saying also, right? I can't remember how you said it, but yeah, right, now they remember. I'll show you one thing. The Tosus says Afal Gav. That Tosus on the bottom. I'm going to jump down a little bit. Not the very, very beginning. But he says like this: V'chein Tzarech. This is in the middle of the Tosus. Okay? The chain sarach lemaid b'shtiyasa. You have to lessen your shtiya. Shemay ragalishtos asara kosos mishechar. If you're used to drinking 10 cups of beer or whatever, some intoxicating agent, or mimashke achar, some other drink, lo yirsakim chamisha, you should have 5. V'tzarach l'shanos mekomo, shu ragalachal bo. To change your place. Moshe nagar shavu yudim eloi, shiyashavach lo tishba, bintanach rayim, makum shuminovo. He ate in like a low place in his house. Right? But we don't hold by Mishana. Right? We hold this Asiri Basari Ayin and to Toshilin. But still, Tosis is saying that you should be Mishana, even though you're not drinking wine, you're drinking beer or whatever it is, you should have less of those. And you should have a different spot. Right? So what do you see Tosis is holding? What it seems like he's holding is that they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. Right? In other words, if you say there's a Suda Tisha B'Av, which is defined as a Suda of Mafsakas, objective form, no Simcha, no, right, no Basar, no Yayin, no Oneg, right? No Tutav Shil, no variety. Fine. But it doesn't mean there isn't also a Gavra of the Suda, who should reduce the Suda in the other facets, namely where you sit, and how much beer you have, maybe how many guests you have, right? They're not mutually exclusive. But the other Manda Amar who is saying Yemayit, he's denying that there is an objective form, objective Isser of Simcha. He's only saying there's a din of the Gavra reducing it. There's no Isser of Simcha, just a din of reduction. Right? But when you say it's a din of reduction of the Gavra's experience, it lends itself to more particulars. Because you reduce the guests, you reduce the where you sit. You reduce the sheikh, or you reduce the yain, you reduce the tafshilin. So it's a din of the gavra, it could be more expansive. If you're setting up objective definition of the su'udah, then you have to define the parameters of what's defined as a su'udah, a basic su'udah. No basa, no yain, no tafshilin. But to say, have sit in a different spot, or have a different less guests, or have, that's not an objective in the su'udah. But just because you hold the objectified the properties of the su'udah doesn't mean there isn't the Gavra of the Suda, and it doesn't mean this. It's not a good idea to do that. Right? So he also holds by that. He's just holding that's not the way, there's a more basic halacha, which is there's an Isser of a Suda of Simcha and of variety. You know, it's more the Rosh Hashanah who denies the Tanakhama, not the Tanakhama denies the Rosh Hashanah. Right? That was the Tor, I think it's related, the Tor, the name of Aviezri, is the one who says that this man damar holds you should still have less guests. That's what he holds. We hold so we should still have less guests and all that. But the Rambam, they deduce, the Rambam doesn't say anything like that about the guests. They deduce that he doesn't hold by that. But I don't know. I'm not sure. But it seems reasonable, right? It seems reasonable. There's no din the reason why the Gavra shouldn't be impacted. It's just that he's holding something further than that, that there's an objective issue. Okay, good. So what we'll do next is there's another thing in the Torah brings down a machlokas is an issue of zimun during the Suda Mafsakas. Okay, is there an issue? Should you not have a zimun? Should you not eat with people? Should you yes eat with people? Okay, that's that. And then I think unless there's something else, then we're going to move into Tisha B'Av itself and the avelos on Tisha B'Av, learning on Tisha B'Av, and you know. Different other new gear there on Tisha B'Av itself.